This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome to Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. In today's show, I've got Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Arigato.
He's back from the land of the rising sun, and I'm sure he's got plenty to talk about. He's even brought himself a little Honda hat.
Snuck
that in.
Surprised he didn't wear Honda's, other merchandise. Mm. Honda pants, Honda shoes, Honda...
He would if he could.
Yeah, that's because I went with Toyota.
Okay.
And of course, the other voice you're hearing is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Roos. Hello, Arif.
Hello, Richard.
How are you?
Okay, I guess, you know.
Well, I suppose a little bit later on, we'll be hearing from Daniel and his wonderful trip over into the Far East and some of the things that he's brought back for us. Have you brought us some goodies back?
Yes, we did.
You did?
Yes, all in my stomach.
Brilliant.
Like that, right?
Some high-quality beef, some good seafood, some fantastic ramen, all in my stomach.
Such a good friend, you know.
Yeah.
Such a good friend. That's all coming up a little bit later on, of course. Get it? All coming up out of his stomach. But before that, of course, we have the man with the news. It's Arif Roos.
Big news this week is that the government actually held some sort of launch for the fact that child seats will be mandatory starting 1st January 2020. That's next year, right? It was quite big. They held a whole press conference and all that stuff. But the biggest part of this, of course, is that an entire guidebook was made for it. So,
I wonder how much money... guidebook maker made.
Yeah, so if you're wondering what the guidebook contains, it outlines the objectives and strategies for certification compliance, procedures and enforcement of laws for child seat use. Just reading from the quotes there. And it will also include some sales guidelines, both offline and online. So, you know, I guess if you're buying something from Lazada, it shouldn't be something super cheap or super expensive.
Right.
All the child seats that will come here apparently will also wear a scannable QR code, which I guess we're
certified
users.
Certified for Malaysian use.
Yeah, so if we scan it, we'll get guidelines and instructions for use.
Oh, that's very smart.
Yep.
So why do you need the guidebook?
Because some people don't know how to use it. I guess.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
Continue.
So, I mean, I guess the big question here is, you know, what happens when parents and drivers are found to be not complying with the forthcoming regulations? Because...
that's when the La Policia comes.
Yeah. But Anthony Loke, and I picked this quote up from another website, a news source, and he said that this is more about educating the public about the importance of child safety when traveling vehicles. So he didn't say much about enforcement. We'll just put it that way.
Okay. Because it's difficult to do.
It's not difficult. It's just that they need more people to do it.
Yeah, but the problem is, you see, a lot of Malaysians have more than five in the family, the in-law, the outlaw, the maid, and everything else, and they drive a five-seater.
Right.
And they've managed to squeeze in all this time. They are not going to trade in their five-seat sedan, compact car, for an MPV and get child seats. They just can't afford it.
And the separate child seats as well, have they given any guidelines as to up to what age a child needs to be in one of these seats?
I didn't really look through the guidelines, but I don't think
you need to get the guidebook.
Yeah, I need to buy the guidebook or I don't know. Yes. But
or have a child so that they're free.
Yeah. Or scan the QR code, they're stuck on it.
There you go.
The big thing about this, though, is, you know, I think early on in this show, one of the early episodes, we did speak a lot about this in the sense that the cost of it. How much do child seats cost right now? About $200-$300.
Well, $300, you can get a very decent child seat. $500, you get, you know, something that's imported. And, you know, if you go up to a few thousand ringgit, you get those really fancy ones which come with the fancy parents. But the most important thing is not buying the seat. If you get an average compact car, say a Perdua, if you put two child seats in the back, you can't even squeeze an adult in the middle.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm saying this, you know, a lot of people have their extended relatives or maids in the house, and those who have four kids and they have a compact car and they've managed all this while, they are not going to change their car for this. Mm. Buying the seat is one issue, but buying a whole new vehicle.
Well, my parents planned it around, you know, they waited till I was 3.5 years old and then they had another kid. Right. They only had to have one car seat.
But you see, that was because you were tall.
Ah, well, not back then I wasn't. Not always petrol. Yeah.
But I mean, this whole cost thing is quite a big problem because, yeah. I mean, like you said, everybody will be, well, a lot of people are driving around in Myvis and Saugas and all that stuff. And cost of everything is going to keep on going up.
Exactly.
And we haven't heard anything about like new tax incentives or tax reliefs for buying new child seats. So it's still going to be, it's not going to be attractive enough to like tell people that it's
I'm 100% behind this.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I don't think there should be tax incentives for the child seat. The child seat is not expensive. Mm. It's the vehicle that's going to be put for the child seat. That's going to be expensive. And before you even go here, how do you stop people from carrying two kids on a motorcycle?
Yeah, that was going to be my next point as well.
Yeah. Mom and dad with two kids, already a big no-no. One kid, we can squeeze it in. But, you know, two kids, a big no-no. And it's happening every day. Yep. And before you even go into this, we have to talk about enforcement of things like that before you talk about this.
So I was coming back from visiting somewhere over the weekend, and it was raining, and we were driving past a family on a motorcycle, and there was the father with the helmet on driving, and then there were two kids without helmets on in between the mother at the back.
Right.
And the mother wasn't holding onto the bike. Of course, she was holding onto the kid in front of her, and that kid was then holding onto the kid in front of him, who was then holding onto the dad. And I'm thinking, if that any of them, just a little
just
bump.
Just one mishap.
One bump, gone. It was raining, no helmets on, nothing, gone. It's some scary stuff.
I mean, since we're talking about like enforcement and all that stuff, we can't even stop people from running red lights.
Yes.
That is already one major issue.
I think we could have an entire show alone about enforcement.
That's for next week, Tuesday, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Tuesday, 9 o'clock in the morning?
Okay, book the studio.
Are you going to be here alone?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got a lot to say. Okay, next, local launches.
Yep, recently we saw the Audi Q3 facelift. Mm. 270,000 ringgit, very expensive for a car the size of a BMW X1.
Yes.
Or a Volvo XC40. And you don't even get the new 1.5 mild hybrid system. You get the old 1.4 TFSI, which was used all across the Volkswagen Group range. Right. And it comes with 147 horsepower and 250 meters of torque. But because this is kind of a small Audi, you don't really get technology all across the board. It's a decent spec. It's a very, very good spec. I think it's marginally better than the X1, but certainly not as well specced as the XC40.
You're not going to see people rushing the showrooms with this of the price.
But it does come with a new interior, which comes with that huge 10-inch touchscreen thing, so no more swivel knob to control your infotainment. And you also get an Audi virtual cockpit, which is the greatest virtual cockpit around.
For now.
It gets park assist, but no mention of blind spot monitoring or AEB, autonomous emergency braking. Right. Partly, I guess, because this is a facelift rather than an all-new
car. We'll have to wait for the whole new model.
Yep. The other car that we launched...
Exciting news!
Yes, you might have seen us cover this a little bit on our Instagram, at BFM Cruise Control. It's the Volvo S60 T8R design.
Arr. And the thing is, sorry to interrupt, but I forgot to say this. Are the Germans worried?
Mm. They should be, because it costs 296,000 and
fully imported
right from America. Mm. It has every box ticked on the spec sheet, and you get 407 horsepower, 650 newton meters of torque, and 49 kilometers of electric range. The comparable car to this, I guess, you know, in terms of power, would be the C43 AMG. Mm. But that costs 100,000 ringgit more.
Right.
And you don't get electric range. Just some sporty numbers here. 0 to 100 in 4.4 seconds. That is really quick. And fuel consumption, they noted 2 litres per 100 kilometres.
Very impressive.
I like the way they said it's fun, but responsible.
Yeah.
Sounds like me.
Really?
Okay.
Let's continue.
Yeah. So, I mean, you get the typical Volvo interior, but weirdly, you do get a smaller, chunkier, sporty steering wheel. Which,
like a Polestar steering
wheel. Yes. Yeah. So, we should be able to review that very soon, but for now, you can just check out our Instagram for some photos and some bite-sized reviews.
And the thing is, you know, I think the competition, BMW and Mercedes especially, they are looking at these numbers and thinking, how did they do it? Because this price for a CBU car, theirs are local assembled, and they are not comparable.
Yep.
And it's, you know...
Just to put the prices out there, like we reviewed last week, the 3 Series was 290. The CKD C300 is 305. The Audi A4 is 315. Mm. So this is like, you get almost double of everything for
the
same price. Mm. And made in America. Yeah.
Shipped all the way here.
Yeah. But moving on to the global launch, this is a really, really, really big one. And everybody's super excited about this. Mm. It's the Honda Jazz 2020. And I believe Daniel went to see it.
I went to see it. And, you know, when they unveiled it, my immediate reaction was, I don't like it.
Uh-oh. What?
Looks-wise. My immediate reaction was, I don't like it.
And then you put your glasses on.
No, I didn't need glasses. No, because you know why? Because I'm so used to the older look.
Right.
So when I saw the little round lights, I was like, you know, I mean, I'm not really taken by it. But never mind. I still took the pictures and then I walked around. I went to the other launches. Then towards the afternoon, I came back. And then it started growing on me. The looks actually grow on you. But what impressed me more about this car was the packaging on the inside. The interior packaging not only is big, it's also very, very upmarket. It's actually moved up to the Europeans. And I think if you put it side by side with a European competitor, this car actually ticks all the right boxes.
It's very, very pretty. And, I mean, they have this little white accents around the steering wheel that makes it look more premium. Mm. And of course, being a Honda, it won't be premium price. So
it'll come to Malaysia next year, confirmed. Because big noise from Honda Malaysia themselves. And it was their, what they call a flagship launch, bringing the whole media and everything there. And I think probably middle of next year, you'll see it in Malaysia.
That'll be exciting.
Yep.
Oh, also, you get electrification now with the car. Yep. So plug-in hybrid system?
Yes.
Yep.
So no. Mild hybrid.
Mild hybrid.
The plug-in, I don't think, will come so soon.
Anyway, they're branding it as the Honda EHEV. So if you see those badges on new Hondas moving forward,
right,
you'll know what it is.
That the means EHEV.
EHEV, yes.
Sounds much cooler, right?
Yes, yes.
Right, let's take a break, folks. That was so far. We've had some news there about how child seats will be mandatory starting January 1st, 2020. Then some local and some global car launches with the Audi Q3 facelift, the Volvo S60 T8R design, and of course, the new Honda Jazz 2020.
EHEV.
Coming up after the break, we've got some interesting stuff from the Tokyo Motor Show. Of course, our friend Daniel managed to get himself over there. That's all coming up after these messages here on BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome back to Cruise Control. I'm Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with...
Arigato.
That's not his real name. But it's Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. And of course, the giggles over there is Arif Ruse, the man with the news. Say hello, Arif.
Hello.
If you're only just joining us, you've missed a little bit of news about how child seats will be mandatory here in Malaysia starting 1st of January 2020. A couple of local and international car launches. Now, of course, it's time for Daniel to take us on a little walk around the island of Japan.
Yes, and we're just specifically going to be in Tokyo at the Tokyo Motor Show, not the whole of Japan. But to start off with, we talked about Honda. They launched a new Jazz. It was very nice, very pretty car, beautiful interior. Then we walked across to Daihatsu.
Yeah.
A name familiar to some Malaysians.
Yeah.
Daihatsu. Mm. Now, this brand, of course, is Perdua. And we saw the whole Perdua team there.
No cutting. Straight to the
point. We saw the whole Perdua team there. We asked them, hey, what's coming up? What's going to be shown next? And they said, we're just talking to our partners. You know, we share a lot of components and this and that, ideas and everything else. Yes, there was a couple of new cars on the stage, but the cars on the stage were all concepts, which we look at it, you know, these cars are never going to come out. It's just like 2 years ago at Tokyo Motor Show, they had a lot of wonderful concepts. Some of them looked like they just came out of the Jetsons movie, but they will never go to production. But on the ground was a car, or an SUV, they call it, that caught our eye. And this vehicle came with just a code. There was no nameplate on the whole vehicle. The Daihatsu badge was there, but there was no name like Viva or Axia or Jetson or Traveler or something, you know? There's no name. But on the windscreen, there was a little piece of paper stuck on the inside that says Daihatsu SUV and the specs. And I took a picture and I put it on DSF. The specs are all there. Now, the interesting thing is, when I asked some of the people at the show, do you have any information on this car? No. Mm. Do you have a name for this car? No. But some people started calling it the Rocky, the Daihatsu, the re-emergence of the Rocky. Many years ago, they had a Rocky. But that was a proper 4x4 hardy vehicle. That's the kind of vehicle that you can take into the Borneo Safari.
Right.
This you can't take into the Borneo Safari. So I'm not going to call this a Rocky unless they want to, you know, correct me. I think this is the new Dreamage vehicle.
The Daihatsu chairman did mention something about that, I heard, right?
He did mention it, but he didn't point to this vehicle. But if you're going to do something, and it's going to be done very soon, this is the newest product from Daihatsu. It makes a lot of sense. It can be a car that Malaysians can, you know, love and want to own because it doesn't look very expensive. It looks nice. It looks chunky. It's got a nice interior. It's got a little floating center stack where the gear lever is. Everything inside is new. It's not shared with any other Daihatsu product. I think this is the vehicle that Dreamage is talking about.
I mean, that does raise like a lot of questions. One of which is, if this is Daihatsu participating with Dreamage, the new national car project, what will happen to Perodua? And the other question is, I forgot the other question. But
whether they're participating or not, that's a different question. Because why? Daihatsu Malaysia still exists. Of course, they're doing commercial vehicles. Daihatsu Malaysia can actually take this and work with Dreamage. Or Dreamage can go straight to Daihatsu Japan and say, give me this platform, give me this vehicle, let's work together. I mean, the mechanics of all this, we are not sure yet. But I don't think Dreamage is going to get an old Daihatsu product, like a Charade or something
like that,
and try and flog it off to Malaysians. That will not happen. That will not go down very, very nicely. They need something brand new like this.
There was a lot of talk, I guess, like, you know, about the new national car project and Dreamage, cross-collaboration rather than what Perodua does, which is probably 70% Daihatsu, 30% Perodua. Correct. So this could be, you know, a cross-collaboration of some sort, I guess. But it's about the size of Honda HR-V, you said, right?
Well, it's about the size of the Honda HR-V, the Mazda CX-3, you know, that crossover segment. It's that size. It cannot be more than 70,000, 80,000. So its immediate competitor next year will be, if it comes along, will be the Proton X50. And the Proton X50 comes with a lot of bells and whistles. And I think the price is going to be very competitive. So for them to make a real sale, it's going to be tough.
Did you see many bells and whistles on this one?
Not many. Mm. Not many. It's a very basic car. Right. It looks nice. It's a very basic car. It's not a high-tech car.
Okay. What else did you see then?
Then I walked nearby and I went to the Mazda stand. Mm-hmm. And Mazda had the CX-30 there. We've already seen the CX-30 before. This time, up close and personal, it's a nice-looking crossover. Again, I'm a little bit confused because it's slightly bigger than the CX-3. But it's got the name 30, you know. So is there a new segment of vehicles that Mazda is trying to get at? Or is it that they're just creating these names and trying to confuse people? Doesn't matter because it still looks very nice. But on the main stand was the highlight of the Mazda show, the MX-30.
Their first electric car.
Their first electric car. And here's the best part. There was no rumor or spy shot of this car at all before the show.
And actually, even Mazda never really thought about building an electric car because they were going gung-ho. It was like, you know, we're going to work on internal combustion until it dies.
Exactly. They were never going to do electric cars. And then a few months ago, they said, oh, we're looking into it. We're going to work with maybe Toyota. We're not sure yet. And bam, they bring out the MX-30.
Sneaky.
Freestyle doors. Now, what's freestyle doors? Oh. Basically, suicide doors.
Yeah.
Like the old RX-8.
I love those.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's got those doors on it. Now, if you open it up, a big person like Richard, when I say big, I'm talking about height, not width, will find it a bit difficult to get into the rear. Mm. Same with me. Mm. I'm a big person. Not height, but width.
So sort of, I guess, interior space, sort of like the old FJ Cruiser. Mm.
True. Very similar to that. Also with the freestyle doors. So this is a ready production model. It's going to go into the market. Details on it, all on dsf.my. But the most important thing is the estimated price. Now, we took the estimated price of the, you know, in yen.
Yeah.
Okay, of what they sell a Nissan Leaf high spec. And then here it's selling for about 188,000. So we did the same comparison and we came up with a price of about 199,000 ringgit.
That's not too bad. And especially, you know, this is quite a stylish car.
Yes. So the thing is
it's
now...
It's not bad.
Yeah.
But the thing is now, is the Nissan Leaf selling?
Mm. No.
It's not selling very well. There's a lot of interest, but there are not enough Malaysians who want to take on this whole electrification 100% because of charging stations and everything else.
Exactly.
So this car is slated to come into this part of the world middle of next year. Would things change in the next 7 to 8 months? I don't think so.
Actually, come to think of it, looking at the photos, they have Mazda is also doing the floating
center stack. Yes.
I guess that's becoming quite a thing right now, yep. These days.
And the first person to do it, if I'm not mistaken, was Honda HR-V.
Oh, not it? The Prius?
Oh, maybe the Prius, yes. Prius. Maybe the Prius, yes. Maybe the Prius.
Okay, moving on.
Then we went to the master of the show, the biggest stand, Toyota. Now, Toyota...
Yeah, I noticed you posting a lot of Toyota pictures over the last couple of days.
Are you a bit jealous?
Yeah, I know. No, I'm not jealous. Uh-huh. You know, there's some really nice stuff
because
there.
I got a lot of pictures.
Yeah, you did. Maybe so, I am a little bit jealous.
Toyota shocked the whole media attending the show. And I tell you why. Because normally when you do a big launch, you know, the boss comes out, like, you know, Akio Toyoda comes out and he does his big grand speech and he's very animated and everything else. But they did not show any car. They didn't show any concepts.
Huh?
He just talked about mobility and going forward and, you know, Toyota's involvement with the Tokyo Olympics and everything else. But no real car on the stand. No real concept.
Yeah.
So it was like a big secret mission, you know. So we were thinking, hell, what's going on here? It's the biggest motor show for 2 years and you're not showing us something that's going to shock us. Well, what happened is the day before... A few of us were selected to go for the Toyota conference. Now, at the Toyota conference, they showed us all their goodies. But they didn't show it at the show, which is a bit strange. But it's coming along later. So we started with the Toyota Mirai. It's a brand new Mirai. It looks a lot like a Lexus.
Yes, it does. I think we posted a picture on Instagram about the Toyota Mirai, and somebody was comparing it was more posh than the Lexus GS.
Exactly. It looks like a Lexus GS that has been smoothened on the edges. The interior is very nice. It's very car-like. It's a fuel cell car. Now, a lot of people are very skeptical about fuel cell, so Toyota went into lengths to explain to us about the safety of fuel cell, the future of fuel cell, and also the range and charging time.
Yeah.
You can recharge a fuel cell Mirai in less than 10 minutes. You can go up to 700 to 800 kilometers.
Or even more.
Or even more. It only emits water. The byproduct of this is you're not using like a charging station, you still have to use power, electricity, which comes from coal and petroleum and everything else. This comes purely from fuel cell. So if you think about it, this could be the future.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, but there is a lot of conversation about this because especially when the Mirai was first, pictures of the Mirai was first revealed, right. Everybody asked a lot of questions. Like, I believe Elon Musk, also you wrote that he called it a stupid idea.
Mind-bogglingly stupid.
Yeah, yes. Mind-bogglingly stupid idea because... He didn't see the value of it because hydrogen is to turn it into a fuel. It is really expensive to do. You have to have a lot of electrolysis and a number of different ways to turn hydrogen into fuel. But like everybody said during the petrol times when cars were suddenly becoming democratic, and like everybody said when the electric cars were first coming in, it's like, oh, the infrastructure is not there.
Yes.
But it certainly, you know, it paints a good picture of. What the world could be doing. Everybody's complaining about, like, oh, electric cars, you can only really go above 500 kilometers, right. Up to 500 kilometers.
And also
kilometers.
The weight.
Yeah, because...
the batteries.
Yeah, because they're in a series of cells.
Right.
So if you want to add more range, you have to add more weight.
Right.
There's only so far that you can do that. So if you have, like, a set of batteries that weighs 100 kilograms that can only bring you 400 kilometers, you have to double it to get to 800 kilometers. With hydrogen, you can, you know, build a slightly bigger tank and you can go 1,200 kilometers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you see, a lot of people are laughing about hydrogen. And even for me, until I went to Japan, I didn't do a lot of research on hydrogen. I just looked at it, oh, you know, it's something that'll just happen probably 30 years from now. But when I went and saw what Toyota was doing, they showed us a bus, they showed us a car, they showed us commercial vehicles all running on hydrogen. And then they also explained to us, they showed us a video how the old Mirai running on hydrogen has already done 1 million kilometers in London, running around London.
Yeah.
As a rental car. So it's efficient, it's running, there's no issue. Now, I can understand someone like Musk or anyone else who's into battery electric cars laughing at this thing because why? It kills their whole production.
Yeah.
Battery prices are not coming down. Raw materials for batteries are going up.
Yep.
Batteries are also having problems with heat and also extreme cold.
Yeah.
Extreme heat and extreme cold. So you got both sides of the continent having problems. The weight issue, they can't get the battery yep. smaller. But with this, you're ready to go.
Not to mention, actually, for electric vehicles, imagine an entire nation running on electric vehicles. You kind of have to almost double, triple, quadruple the electric supply, and you have to
exactly.
make sure all the supply is constant and running at super high voltages.
I think one of the arguments for this or against this is that if hydrogen becomes the next big thing, the kind of advancement in technology for electric cars, for battery, you know, the future of batteries comes to a bit of a halt as that kind of forks off to focus on hydrogen.
Yeah.
I think the future eventually is in electric cars. It's just getting the batteries down to a size that makes it functional. You know, looking at stuff like capacitors rather than batteries seems to be the way forward. It's just that this worries me that it's going to distract people away
yeah.
for, I don't know. I mean, the idea of hydrogen is not new. It's been around for quite some time. But to see the Mirai doing as well as it is, to have 1 million miles on it and doing very well, that's encouraging.
Daniel, you showed a stat here. Since launching in 2014, Toyota has sold about 10,000 Mirai cars
yes.
globally.
Yes.
I didn't think the number would be that high.
Actually, I also didn't think, you know, but when I went to Tokyo, and you know, because you're there with the company and, you know, you start thinking and start looking around, you see so many running around.
Right.
Even as taxis, even as private vehicles. But the other thing also, you see, when I talk to Toyota people, they are saying, for now, we are also going into full battery electric cars. So I said, why? They said, no, because different markets will have different needs.
Yeah.
There will be some countries will say, no, I don't want to touch hydrogen because I've already invested heavily into electric chargers. For example, Norway.
Yeah.
51% of the cars are already electric cars.
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to change their charging stations. So Toyota wants to capture that market. So they will still continue to develop battery electric cars side by side with hydrogen-powered cars. So countries like Malaysia, for example, that don't have a lot of electric chargers, how many electric cars do we have? A handful.
Yeah.
How many plug-in hybrids do we have? Okay, 20 over 1,000.
10,000 handfuls.
Yes. So all these cars, at some point, have to go.
Yeah.
But if you bring in the hydrogen stations, and then you start going with hydrogen, things will start changing. If you go to a country that's not got any electrification at all, say Vietnam, Cambodia, Indonesia, this is the time to do it. But will they go? Because now you have companies going into these countries and setting up battery factories for electric cars.
Actually, their strategy seems to be quite sound because, you know, they're investing a lot in both.
Yes.
And they also launched this ultra-compact battery electric vehicle, which looks like a smart car. And if you think about it, the usability of a hydrogen vehicle, which means you can just drive for miles and miles and miles, right. thousands, 2,000 kilometers, I guess it's a great opportunity for commercial vehicles because, you know, when we think about freight transport on land,
right.
we don't think electric trucks could
exactly.
make it because they will have to wait for hours yeah. and hours and hours just to let it to charge.
I'm really glad you brought this up because now comes, you heard it here first. You heard it here first on BFM, the number one radio station in the nation, okay, on Cruise Control. The government just announced that they want to buy 350 to 400 new public buses.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they must be energy efficient.
Yes.
What if they were all hydrogen buses?
Yeah.
They said they were going to spend around $1 million per bus.
Exactly.
They?
So now, if you're going to get these buses, you get them all hydrogen. You don't have to put hydrogen stations everywhere. You just put them in the depots.
Exactly.
So on average, the bus driver can go out, do his loops, come back, time to change his shift, plug in, take 10 to 15 minutes to charge. New driver comes in, gets on, and he goes.
It seems to make a lot of sense for...
Yes.
But, you know, there's still quite a lot of space for battery electric vehicles.
Exactly, but this is immediately going.
Yeah.
And the best part is Toyota actually showed us a full hydrogen public bus called the Sora, and it's actually running.
Well, there you go.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, any of you want to get in on this business deal that I'm doing to buy hydrogen buses? We can talk after this.
That's all the time we have for this week then, ladies and gentlemen. If you've only just joined us, you've missed the show. But of course, you can download the podcast wherever you normally download it from. You can also head over to Spotify as well, where we stream it there. We started off with the show with some news about how child seats will be mandatory here in Malaysia starting January 1st, 2020. Some local and a couple of global car launches, wrapping up with a bit of a tour of the Toyota Motor Show. Good to see you, Daniel.
Tokyo
Motor Show.
There you go. Bit of a Freudian slip there. Tokyo Motor Show. All here on BFM 89.9 on Cruise Control.
Happy belated Deepavali.
listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.